Good morning. It's 11 a.m., June 14th, 2012. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are in the North Dakota PSC hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck. This is time and place for our special meeting that we have today. We have a few items that I'm going to be closing out on my last commission meeting day. And this is Tony Clark. I'd like to welcome everyone today and allow my fellow commissioners to introduce themselves as well.
Yes, good morning. Welcome, everyone. And I would say bittersweet, except I'd say that the sweet part's a little hard, Tony. But we'll get to more of that later. I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
Good morning, Brian Kalk. Happy Flag Day to everyone, and also at Tony's last meeting. And I'm excited that I'll be getting to move into his office. So
that's a beautiful view of the Missouri.
I wish him luck as well.
Thanks. I'd like to welcome to the commission hearing room David Wright, who's a commissioner from the state of South Carolina. David succeeded me as president of NARUC, so he served as president of the association this year. He's here for the my swearing-in tomorrow. So, David, thank you for joining us. With that, we do not have any items on consent, although we have a few items that normally would be on consent, but we'll just read them as part of regular items. Item TC1, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-12-244 canceling warehouse license numbers 89 and 1187 respectively issued to Larimore Bean Company at Larimore and Sharon, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Larimore and Sharon is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
Central Valley Bean Cooperative is going to be licensing these elevators. They told commission staff they intend to license a warehouse at Sharon prior to dry edible bean harvest.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-12-226 granting the request of Central Valley Bean Cooperative, Buxton, North Dakota, to operate a 321,000 bushel grain warehouse at Larimore, North Dakota.
Second.
And this is the Larimore facility.
All in favor?
Aye.
TC3, I move the commission approve the auctioneer license for Lonnie Royer, Jamestown, North Dakota, effective June 22nd, 2012.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kalk.
Shouldn't there be some kind of statement now since that's your last official motion?
No.
Okay. Good morning. Item BK1. I move the commission adopt the order granting Otter Tail Power Company's motion for dismissal of North Central Electric Cooperative Inc.'s formal complaint and denying North Central Electric Cooperative Inc.'s motion for summary disposition of North Central Electric Cooperative Inc.'s formal complaint, case number PU11701.
Second.
On December of 2011, North Central filed a complaint and affidavit of support of complaint with the North Dakota PSC, alleging that Otter Tail Power Company had engaged in the construction of an extension of a public utility plant and system and of its transmission and distribution lines into the North Central Service Territory without first obtaining a commission CPCNN. On December 21st of 2011, the commission found that it was a formal complaint. In January 16th of 2012, Otter Tail filed an answer with the commission admitting such activities but denying that a CPCNN was required before the commission before their initiation of the project. On May of this year, North Central, Otter Tail, and the Tribe presented oral arguments to the commission, and we held a hearing right here in the commission room. Some of the findings of fact that Skydancer Casino is a tribally owned facility. The Tribe is federally recognized Indian tribe. The Tribe has a longstanding tribal utility code, and the Tribe passed a resolution on November 23rd of 2011 determining that Otter Tail shall provide electric service to Skydancer Casino. Really a lot of legal back and forth, a lot of discussion, but what it really came down to is this, that the Skydancer Casino is a tribal business located upon trust land, and because the mandatory authority of Devil's Lake Sioux Indian Tribe versus the North Dakota PSC back in 95, it deems our execution of the Territory Integrity Act under these circumstances a violation of the tribe's inherent sovereignty. The commission concludes that it possesses no regulatory powers as it relates to Otter Tail's activities. Because the commission finds that it possesses no regulatory power over Otter Tail's activities, and because such issue is dispositive regarding both parties' respective motions, Otter Tail is therefore entitled to a judgment as a matter of law. The point, I guess, on this is that I think the federal law is pretty clear on this, but it does leave open the question that At some point in time, Otter Tail will come back in front of the Public Service Commission for a rate case, and there'll be a lot of facts, I think, that'll come into play there. And this one, for me particularly, is that I would, quite honestly, would have liked to find a way to where we kept it North Central Territory, but I think it's pretty clear the federal law says that Otter Tail has the right to do this, and we'll just have to see what all plays out.
I think the conclusion of law paragraph 8 really encapsulates what the entire commission is thinking with regard to this. It's pretty clear as a matter of law, I think, at least in my mind, that the commission does not have jurisdiction in this case to enforce the Territorial Integrity Act. I think there are a lot of policy questions that arise from that, which I don't like where it leads from a policy standpoint. What it really does, albeit in very limited cases where we're dealing with a tribally owned business on trust land, it basically, by virtue of past court precedent, has nullified this commission's ability to enact the TIA, which means there can not only be wasteful duplication of service, but there can really be utility shopping in a way that doesn't take place really anywhere else in the country, even in deregulated states where you have choice for who you get your service from. The distribution network is the same network. Here, the policy outcome leads us to conclude that, I mean, literally different distribution utilities can be competing against each other for tribally owned business on trust land, which can lead to wasteful duplication, all sorts of things like that. The question that Commissioner Call teed up is exactly right. Although the commission's jurisdiction is limited in this particular case in enforcing the TIA, the commission still retains all its regulatory authority over Otter Tail in future rate cases. So if at some time in a future rate case the commission decides that Otter Tail's involvement in this sort of competitive bidding for businesses on swapping utility providers, if it exposes some sort of risk to other ratepayers in North Dakota, we would have mechanisms to protect other ratepayers, which is important that we continue to keep that.
Yeah, what this order really does is it recognizes the supremacy clause of the Constitution, and by extension, of course, the interplay between states' rights and the federal government. And as my fellow commissioners have stated, public policy flaws aside, we're bound by the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the country and of the state. And if there's to be a remedy, it would have to be taken up in the United States Congress.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item BK2. I move the commission suspend the proposed switched access price schedules of those cases listed in the announcement.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We just basically suspended the fee for now for item BK3. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing concerning the companies listed in the announcement.
Second.
Let me get a little verbal here. What we have is over the last few months, we've had several different companies file with the North Dakota Public Service Commission new switch price access schedules to reflect newly enacted federal communication rules regarding the treatment of VoIP PSTN traffic. If we have a hearing scheduled for, if we have no comments, we'll probably just do it informal, but if we have comments received by July 25th, 2012, we'll more than likely schedule a hearing.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And that concludes the items in my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I just have a little housekeeping one on the pipeline and a couple of others. Casey, one, I move the commission approve One Oak Rockies Midstream LLC's, formerly known as Bear Paw Energy LLC, tree and shrub mitigation plan filed May 21, 2012, in case number PU 11-66.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. KC2. I move the commission execute a contract with BNC Concrete Pumping, Inc. in the amount of $689,675 for drilling and grouting at the Beulah Zap Phase 13 AML project in Mercer County.
Second.
You recall that we issued an invitation for bids in February for some drilling and grouting at Beulah Zap. It involves, of course, the injection of pressurized grout into abandoned underground mine workings, mainly along the public roads and things in Beulah. As you know, that mine happens to have a lot of roads going over it and around it. So It's a very important safety issue. The competitive bidding procedures were used, of course. The public bid opening occurred on April 23rd, and only one bidder responded, and of course that is BNC. So everything seems to be in order. It was a slightly above the staff estimate for the work, and we're anxious to get on with yet another phase of the very long deal as that project.
All in favor?
Aye.
KC3, I move the commission execute a contract with GeoServe, Inc. in the amount of $30,500 for material testing at the Beulah Zapp Phase 13 AML project in Mercer County.
Second.
Of course, all of the same factors. It's the same project. It just requires that there be some material testing, and GeoServe was one of two who bid on this project. The other bid was for $34,100. The staff estimate was right around $27,600, so close to the staff estimate. The other bidder did not object, and so we're issuing the contract today.
All in favor?
Aye.
KC4, I move the commission execute a contract with Earthworm Excavating in the amount of $59,989.50 for filling sinkholes caused by abandoned underground coal mines in western North Dakota.
Second.
This is a sort of a broader project, and as you notice, it's simply filling sinkholes that are visible. And so in February, we did issue an invitation for bids for sinkhole filling at 12 locations in western North Dakota. It involves excavating and filling of sinkholes that have formed due to the collapse of several of our abandoned underground coal mines. The competitive bidding procedures were used. The IFB set a maximum for the project of $60,000. The low bidder is determined based on the contractor who submitted the lowest unit price on a cubic yard basis for earthen materials used to fill the sinkholes. The public bid opening occurred on April 23rd, as did the others. The low bid was Earthworm at $16.85 per cubic yard for 2,670 yards of material, plus $15,000 for the 12 mobilizations. The other bidder bid $30 per cubic yard for 1,500 cubic yards, plus the $15,000. So Earthworm's bid totaled $59,989. Notice of intent to award was issued on April 27th. The other bidder did not appeal to that intent, and so today we're issuing the order.
All in favor?
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio.
Okay, and that ends the items on the agenda. We will have an administrative, agenda after we take questions from the media. Before we do that, I just want to thank everybody for, and I'll have an opportunity to do some more of these tomorrow, but as I wrap up my last commission meeting, I want to give a special thank you, because I may not have a chance to do it, and they're both here in the room. One of the complaints that you hear from public utility commissioners when they're alone by themselves in small groups around the country, which is almost universal, is concerns about how the commissions are covered in the media. They feel like in their own states that maybe the media doesn't understand the arcane rules of regulatory policy, and I have always said in public speeches and elsewhere, we are very lucky in North Dakota to have especially two very experienced capital reporters, which is a luxury that a lot of places don't have. What we do is very complicated. What we do is not easy to relay to the general public, but it's very important, and it affects everyone's life. And I want to thank Dale and Dave, because I've felt over the years that we've always been treated very fairly, but that we also have people who actually really understand what it is we do here, and that makes a huge difference in how we are reported. So thank you. You are our two reliables. You're always here every week. And I would add, before you, Janelle Cole, too, as someone who got it and really worked hard to provide a full picture to the general public. So Dale and Dave, thank you for your service to the public.
And
that's hard for me to say about a Cardinal fan.
Well, just like I mentioned, you know, I'm glad to see the campaign to export Chicago Cubs fans from North Dakota is going quite well.
Any questions?
First of all, the Beulah mine, how long has that been going on?
Boy, that has been going on. Well, this is phase 13, Jim. When did the Beulah mine start? When did we start?
First probably back in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
There's been years where we haven't had projects at that location.
Yeah. there have been, although the proximity of that mine to highways has really been a bit of a created an urgency, if you will, with that mine. So it's been a priority for since I've been on the commission.
Well, I just remember when they filled in underneath the Eagles Club, and that was many years ago.
Yes.
Otter Tail Power, or the Otter Tail Power case, excuse me, do I?
Yeah, North Central.
Yes. North Central, yes. Is the concern here that it isn't so much that the tribe has jurisdiction, but Otter Tail is going to be building facilities, perhaps, that maybe they...
They have built facilities already.
Okay, well, they're building facilities that, if you had regulatory power here, maybe not would not have been built, and they're going to charge their ratepayers for them?
Well, I think there'd certainly be a good argument that wasteful duplication is taking place if, in fact, we had jurisdiction. But that's not what we, you know, ruled on, of course. But the fact of the matter is that particular facility, prior to the expansion, the service provider was, in fact, the co-op.
But my concern is just what you said, is that that's exactly what's happening, is there's competition for regulatory or utility services on North Dakota land, if you will, but there's really the law is such that that's the way it's going to be. And my concern down the road is that what have we set up? What if you've got a case where Otter Tail provides power to this and it ends up losing lots of money and it comes back to a rate case? So we'll cross that road when we come to it. But, I mean, it is duplication of services in my mind, but that's the way the law lays it out, right?
Well, and it's not even competition in the traditional sense, as I alluded to, as we think of it in utility policy. In states that have retail choice, the distribution lines are all the same. You just get to pick who your energy provider is that's using those lines. This is a different concept than that at all. This is utility companies out, competition is a kind word, that are sort of engaged in a form of competition, I guess, but literally overbuilding each other's networks, connecting to the same customer, maybe a customer who's been hooked up to those lines for years. And the precedent that I worry about is now with a number of businesses throughout the state, I don't know that we want to encourage utility companies to be building two or three sets of lines to the same business and then all attempting to get their business through different mechanisms. The concern is that other ratepayers may pay the price for that type of activity.
And are you concerned about, first of all, do you think that this applies to fee land?
I don't think we decided anything beyond the facts that were before us, which were trust land within the exterior borders of a reservation and a tribally owned business.
What I was thinking of was, first of all, are you concerned that the logic would apply to fee land within the borders of a reservation? And also, I'm thinking of the three affiliated tribes, the Fort Berthold Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
There's obviously a lot of power demand there. There's utilities that want to supply that demand. And it appears that if you're on trust land, that you can do just as the Turtle Mountain Tribe did.
Well, it's with a tribally owned business. So
yeah, right.
Not with any other owned business.
Right. Okay. That's right. That's an important distinction. But you raise an interesting circumstance, because of course the Fort Berthold Reservation already has suffered for decades over questionable jurisdiction because of since the dam was built and the expansion of non tribal members and onto the reservation, the expansion of the reservation onto beyond the borders has created lots of jurisdictional questions over the decades. The interesting thing to me, without speculating too much with regard to fee land, I actually wondered about it sometimes during the hearing, except that it was never raised in any of the testimony, nor was it relevant in any of the case law that was cited. So the case law was pretty specific to trust lands and tribal businesses. So we'll see. But now, we talk about the perhaps potential negative consequences to ratepayers. The converse might be true as well. There may be, for at least for the investor-owned utilities who we regulate economically, it might be such a boom for IOUs.
I was thinking specifically about, I don't know where the three affiliated tribes wants to build their refinery.
Right.
But if they want to build it on trust land and it's a tribally owned business, I mean, obviously that's a big customer.
It'd be a nice piece of business for someone. Yeah.
Well, there were some other things that came out. There were, you know, the tribe has a utility code. There actually was a motion and a vote taken by the tribe. So there was, I mean, they followed their procedures to the law. Mm-hmm. So when it came to the hearing, it was, there definitely was a sequence of events that led to this.
I mean, on the other hand, is this a narrow enough set of circumstances that it's really not much to worry about?
Maybe. I don't know. There are other casinos in the state that would, and there are other, you know, tribal businesses. So I don't know if it's going to be a widespread problem or not. It's just something to, I think, keep an eye on. And I don't think anyone's pointing a finger at the tribe or saying they did anything wrong. I don't think they did. They're exercising the sovereignty that they have.
That's right.
They were able to find a power provider that they believed better suited their needs. So I don't think that there's, and they haven't done anything wrong. It's just from a, as a public policy matter, looking out for ratepayers in general. As a general rule, do we want in North Dakota double sets of lines running to businesses, utilities overbuilding each other in a checkerboard type pattern? It's not really a great public policy outcome.
Just, well, in, during the hearing, it came out, Otter Tail is the one that made the decision to do this. So if there's any question, it's, you know, Otter Tail said, we're going to do this, and then they knew this would probably lay the sequence of events out there. So just a very curious set of circumstances, but I hope the investor-owned utilities are looking very closely before they make the decision to build things.
Just so that I'm clear, as I understand it, Otter Tail is going to be serving the new building, and they're also going to be serving the existing buildings that are presently served by the cooperative?
That's not the way I understand it. North Central keeps its load, and then the new load goes to Otter Tail.
Okay.
Which literally you'll have buildings very closely to it, one being served by North Central, one being served by Otter Tail.
So the ones that the cooperative serves now will still be served by the cooperative?
Correct.
Okay.
But the extrapolation, if that's a word, who knows what might happen down the road if all of a sudden they start serving other buildings?
Yeah. Wouldn't they have the option, too, of switching, would they not?
I would think so. I mean,
one of the things that came out is that Otter Tail has a 10-year contract now with the tribes, where North Central does not have a contract in place. They've just been serving this area. So I am concerned there's a lot of things that may come out of this down the road.
See, I think that, Dale, if I understand, the logical conclusion or the logical next step would be if the tribe has exclusive jurisdiction or the federal government, why wouldn't switching utilities be just as, you know, just as safe as taking in a new load? So those are all questions for the future, I suppose. But I have to say, and while certainly from a wasteful duplication standard, it's questionable public policy, but at the same time, the ideal of sovereign status for a tribe is pretty big deal. I mean, it's a pretty high ideal, and I think that's why the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution is the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution. I think it's not to be treated lightly, and I think that's exactly why you have the order you have before you.
Well, I guess what we're getting at is that wouldn't the logic of this say that if there are other tribal businesses on tribal trust land, could they not switch if they chose, if the tribal council approved it? Given the logic of this decision,
I think given the right fact circumstances, you could draw that
conclusion.
But I mean, there would be a number of
process.
Yeah, and in a way, this is just a reaffirmation of where I think the commission has tended to believe the law was for a while, coming out of the Devil's Lake case, several years ago, which was heavily litigated.
You expect North Central to appeal this?
Oh, I don't know. They've got counsel here. You can ask them.
Okay.
And yes. That's just my opinion.
But essentially what you have here is you have a tribally owned business on trust land that where the tribal council has decided that they want a particular service provider, and your decision is that you
what forced the case was North Central filed a TIA challenge essentially to it, and so the question became, can we enforce the Territorial Integrity Act? If the answer was yes, then we would have had to have a separate proceeding which would have got into the specific details of whether there was a violation of the TIA by answering the question in the way that the commission has, which is that we don't believe we have jurisdiction to enforce it, then that's dispositive.
I still go back to, there's a larger issue, though, of Otter Tail's decision process that gets us to this. They need to work with the co-ops. We should be doing service area agreements in towns. And this could start off quite a string of events.
And if I understand what would happen during an appeal, you would be arguing that you don't have jurisdiction and the cooperative would be arguing that you do.
That could be one potential line of argument, sure.
Yeah, I guess if, I don't, you know, who knows, but if that was a line of argument and the court felt that we erred, they would just remand it back to us, and then we probably would then have a TIA case on our hands. Because the question is a question of jurisdiction.
Because you have not reached the question of whether or not this is wasteful duplication. You have all just decided that you don't have jurisdiction.
It's none of our business.
This is not your
that the tribe has case. Exercised its sovereign mm-hmm. authority.
Just to bring me up to date, Commissioner Clark, when do you raise your hand and take the oath?
At 2 o'clock tomorrow, we'll be doing the swearing-in ceremony.
And that will be where?
Great Hall, State Capitol.
Have you decided who's doing it yet?
Senator Hoeven is scheduled to deliver or administer the oath of office. As a technical matter, it's very similar to our state offices, where technically when I sign the affidavit, which will be just before it, that's the act that will make me a commissioner. But just like the governor has a ceremonial oath of office administered to him, we'll have a similar ceremony that Senator Hoeven, as my prime Senate sponsor, will be there administering that. Governor Dalrymple will be hosting the event. We'll have a number of folks giving speeches, and hope folks can attend. There'll be a reception afterwards.
What are you serving?
I don't know. Charlene's been in charge of that. Well, staff's been cooking, I think, feverishly for the last
few weeks. And what time are you out of your office?
It's about 1:30, probably safe. 1:45, maybe?
Yeah. There'll be a cart coming up the elevator.
That's right.
Who is going to get your office? Do you know?
I'm moving into his office.
Okay.
1:35.
Now that we know.
You don't like your neighbor, do you?
Oh, I like my neighbor a lot. I like the view in Tony's office.
It's got four windows instead.
But seriously, you're going to take over?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Okay.
And then Kevin and I have talked, and we'll see how it all plays out, whether the governor and how quick he decides to appoint someone, and commission keeps rolling.
I don't mean this the way it sounds, but can just anybody give you the oath of office? I mean...
You mean the ceremonial oath? Or the,
yeah, I mean, the governor's or the senator's giving you the oath
yeah,
of office.
I mean, anyone...
Sort of power invested in him to give oaths of office.
No. The administration of the oath is one that I think probably anyone can do. Of course, it's because it's an honorary one. I was pleased that Senator Hoeven's able to do it. Technically, as a matter of who can notarize the actual affidavit, that's a more strict standard. You actually have to be a notary public or there's... In law, there's a list of people who can sort of watch you do that and do that one. But
so there's going to have to be a notary there watching you
sign. Yeah.
Okay. Glad I got that cleared up.
Jerry Vandewall has really never sworn any of us in. I think Shelley did for me last time, didn't she?
Well, I'm just thinking about the possibilities. I mean, you could have Abel swear you in if he could.
That'd be nice. Thank you. Yeah.
I'd have to be 18.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I haven't verified that, given that vast experience of Dave and Dale, that one of them is in line for.
You think that's what Dave is hitting it?
I do think there's a chance.
All right. Any other questions?
I get a pay raise, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. With that, we will close this portion of the meeting. We'll come back in 5 minutes at 11:35 for the administrative portion of the agenda. Thank you.